We turn in our Bibles again to Mark's Gospel. We're not going to go to Mark 5 this time, but we're going right to the end, near enough to Mark chapter 15. And we're going to start our reading at verse 15. So it's Mark 15, and starting to read at verse 15. Let's hear God's word. So Pilate, wanting to gratify the crowd, released Barabbas to them. And he delivered Jesus after he had scourged him to be crucified. Then the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium. And they called together the whole garrison. And they clothed him with purple and twisted crown of thorns, put it on his head, and began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews." Then they struck him on the head with the reed and spat on him, and bowing the knee, they worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took the purple off him, put his own clothes on him, and led him out to crucify him. Now they compelled a certain man, Simon of Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus, as he was coming out of the country and passing by, to bear his cross. And they brought him to the place Golgotha, which is translated place of a skull. Then they gave him wine mingled with myrrh to drink, but he did not take it. And when they crucified him, they divided his garments, casting lots for them to determine what every man should take. Now it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And the inscription of his accusation was written above, "The King of the Jews." With him they also crucified two robbers, one on his right and the other on his left. So the scriptures were fulfilled, which says, "And he was numbered with the transgressors." And those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, "Aha, you who destroyed the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." Likewise, the chief priests also, together with the scribes, mocked and said amongst themselves, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. Let the Christ, the Lord of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe." And those who were crucified with him reviled him. Now when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Elior, Elior, lama sabachthani," which is translated, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Some of those who stood by, when they heard it, said, "Look, he is calling for Elijah." Then someone ran and filled a sponge full of sour wine, put it on a reed and offered it to him to drink, saying, "Let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come to take him down." And Jesus cried out with a loud voice and breathed his last. Then the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Now when the centurion who stood opposite him saw that, he cried out like this and breathed his last, and he said, "Truly this man was the Son of God." There were also women looking on from afar, among whom was Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the Less, and of Joses, and of Salome, who also followed him and ministered to him when he was in Galilee, and many other women who came up with him to Jerusalem. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. And as we share in that word, may God, by the Holy Spirit, help us and guide us to know more of what Jesus has done for us on that cross at Calvary. Amen. When I was a young lad, we didn't have a television until I was about 14 years of age. And televisions was only in black and white. There was a program on the television, perhaps a few years later. Perhaps some of you might remember it. It was called Seeing is Believing. And they used to get all these weird things, and they think, oh, it can't be true. Until they saw it, and there before your eyes, they proved that seeing is believing. But that is not what the gospel is about. Seeing is not believing, in a sense, because faith is believing. Faith to believe in what the Bible tells us and teaches us. But here we have, in what we read earlier, we have this centurion soldier. A Roman centurion soldier who has probably seen hundreds, if not thousands, of executions, crucifixions. But this one is different from all the others. Never before has an execution or death like this man's touched his heart. Why? Because the one dying on that cross in front of him is none other than God veiled in human flesh. Truly, says the centurion, of all that has gone on, truly this is the Son of God. And this comes from a Roman soldier, a man who is tough, arrogant, proud. I've always been brought up to believe through history books and seeing pictures that a Roman soldier was the tough guy, was the man that everybody feared, a soldier who was trained to the hilt. And yet we see in this man that he is brought low. He is brought basically to his knees. Although that doesn't say that in Scripture, but we believe that this man becomes a Christian. Why? Because he is in touch with the Saviour. We see three things here relating to this centurion soldier. Firstly, we see that he sees. Secondly, that he hears. And thirdly, he reacts. And I want us tonight to look at this for ourselves, as if we were this soldier. First of all, he sees that Jesus is no ordinary criminal, but someone who is so different to any other that he's been involved in with their death. Not the normal squealing of a prisoner going to be executed, but the softly spoken words of a man that is truly God veiled in human flesh. Luke records for us in chapter 23, and in words from verses 27 down to 31, Jesus is drawn away through the multitude by the soldiers. And there's a great crowd around him who are following by the women, mourning and lamenting him. And Jesus turns to them and says, daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For indeed the days are coming in which they will say, blessed are the barren, the wombs that never bore and the breast that never nursed. Then they will begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in the greenwood, what will be done in the dry? Not the shouts of innocent and pleading for his life to be spared, but words of pleading to his God for forgiveness to those who were involved in his execution. Again, Luke tells us in chapter 23 and verse 34, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know, there is this Roman soldier, and he's expecting this criminal, this Jesus, to be crying out for forgiveness. Look, I'm innocent of what I'm going to die for. I am innocent. I've done no crime. But no, he gently goes to that cross. Why? Because this was his hour. This is what he cried in the Garden of Gethsemane. Father, if it's your will, take this cup off me. But for this hour I have come. All that Jesus came for, his teaching, his miracles that he did, yes, wonderful and marvelous as they are, they only point to Christ coming to that cross to die for you and for me. This Roman soldier sees these things, and the conversation that goes on as he's being executed, his final words from the cross, Father, forgive them. It is finished. Into your hands I commend my spirit. It's not the cry of someone who is about to be executed. It's a cry from someone who is dying there for him personally and for you too. How do you see Jesus tonight? Is he your personal Savior? Has he died on that cross at Calvary for you personally? Or is he just another man dying? This centurion soldier, truly, he says, truly, this man is the Son of God. Is he to you the Son of God tonight? Have you seen him dying there in your place, taking all the punishment that he took, all the beating? When we read, what did we read? And they struck him on the head with a reed, a large pole, beat him on the head, spat on him. So that's one of the most horrible things that anyone could do to anyone, is to spit at them. You're the filth, you're the scum. They dressed him in purple, twisted a crown of thorns. Now, again, I've been always taught that the Roman soldier was a tough guy, the muscle man, the Charles, what we used to call the Charles Atlas of the world. Strong, tough. And I don't think for one moment that he placed that crown of thorns on Jesus' head like our Queen was crowned in 1953. But it was rammed on his head until those thorns pierced his head and the blood dripped down. He was scourged for you and for me. A scourging which was like a cat with nine tails, and all down the tails were pieces of bone and pieces of metal that as it hit the back, it not only marked it, but it tore the flesh. It is no wonder that Jesus couldn't carry his cross. It's no wonder that he fell on the way, because the cross was heavy on him. And this Roman centurion sees this And God is working upon his heart. Has God worked on your heart like this? Have you seen Jesus there taking all that punishment, all the scum, all the talk of the people, when he could so easily have just cried out, "Father, send the angels," and they would have taken him off. But he went to the end. "It is finished," he says. Everything that God had commanded him to do is done. It's complete, finished, cannot ever be repeated. Do you see Jesus like this for you? This centurion soldier did. He hears Jesus' voice. All this going on, and what he hears goes right to his very heart of this hard, normally insensitive, irreligious Roman soldier. For behind this hard exterior lies a heart that God is working upon. Now, this is what you and I were like once. Our hearts were hard against God. We knew the stories from the Bible. We may have been to Sunday school and we've been to church services time and time again, but our hearts were hard until Christ softened them, that we might hear his voice speaking to us. Could this be the centurion that Acts writes about, or Luke writes about in Acts 10, Cornelius? Or could he be one of those soldiers that went to hear John the Baptist speak in Luke's Gospel, chapter 3 and verse 14? We don't know. But what we do know about this centurion soldier was that his heart was being changed as he watched and as he heard what was going on. He hears that still, gentle voice of God speaking to him. "This is my beloved son. Hear him." And he does. Have you heard Jesus speaking to you? If you've heard him speaking to you, respond to him. Out from this rough, hard-hitting, hard-fighting soldier, voice comes, words that would never expect to hear. "Truly, this was the Son of God." This is not some spur of the moment outburst, nor is it a split second emotional cry, but a climax of what has already gone on. And you know, that is exactly what we've done. Right? We've heard the voice of God speaking to us and we've responded. And if you're a Christian here tonight, then you've been changed out of all recognition. Why? Because you've seen what Jesus has done for you. You've heard what he's said to you. And you've responded. This is a calculated and thoughtful expression of what has taken place in this soldier's heart. God has touched this man in a real and a personal way that he never expected it to be. Has God touched your heart tonight in the same way? God has shown this man the truth of what is happening, is that God is dying there on the cross for him personally, with all the sin that is in his life. And he's done it for you and for me, if you know him as your own personal Savior tonight. That person on that middle cross, none other than truly the Son of the living God. With all that meaning that goes with this profound saying, yes, he hears God speaking to him and he reacts. What about you tonight? Have you heard the voice of Jesus softly pleading with your soul? Have you heard him in your life, touching the very depths of your being? Because this is what this soldier, this centurion soldier did. And he responds. He reacts to what he sees and he hears. His whole being knows that Jesus is only there on that cross for no other reason than to take away his sin. He makes his response to this in a dramatic way, his confession. He truly comes out with it. Paul writes to the church at Rome, and he writes these words in chapter 10 and verses 10 and 11. For with the heart we believe to righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. For the scriptures say, whoever believes on me will not be put to shame. There may come a time in our country when we will have to stand for what we believe, our Christian faith. There may come a time in our land when we will be persecuted for righteousness' sake. There may come a time where our names may be written down on a book and given to the government, and we'll be taken from our homes and put in prison. There may come a time when we'll be beaten because we confess to be Christ. But we know that Jesus is with us every step of the way. This centurion soldier tells us that he confesses with his mouth, truly, this is the Son of God. Do you know this for yourself tonight? Jesus' whole purpose in coming into the world was to die in the place of the lost, helpless sinner. And that's where we were. Lost and without hope. Aliens from the Commonwealth of Israel. Why? Because we didn't respond to him. Lost in our sin. And we might say, well, you know, I'm not a bad person. You know, I'm a law-abiding citizen. You may well be tonight a law-abiding citizen. But unless you know Christ as your own personal Saviour, you are lost, you're helpless, and you're going to a lost eternity. He hung there on that cross in your place and my place because he loved you and me so much. Love kept him there, not the nails. Last week I was doing a bit of carpentry, trying to make a planter, and as I was screwing, the head of the screw slipped off the screw, and I burnt my hand in the middle here. It's painful, but I thought, wow, what is that compared to having a nail thrust through it on both hands and feet? Nothing. His love for us is so amazing. His love for us is so divine. Why? Because he loves you. He loved that soldier, that one that was in charge of his execution. He loved those people who nailed him to the cross. Father, he says, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. He loved those scribes and Pharisees who called out and said, he saved others. He cannot save himself. If you are the Christ, come down and we will believe. And you know, that's exactly what a lot of people say. If Christ comes back again, we will believe. But that's not belief. As I said earlier, seeing is not believing. Faith is believing and living. Does the death of Jesus Christ mean anything to you tonight? If he does, then praise God. Thank him for what he's done for you. And we'll be coming in a short time to this table of remembrance when we remember his dying on that cross for us. When we partake of the bread and the wine, we thank God for what he's done for us. These bread and this wine will not change into anything different. It is still bread and wine. It just reminds us of what he has done for us. We constantly need reminding of this. And this is what the gospel of Jesus Christ is all about. It's the good news that Jesus died on that cross at Calvary to save us from our sins. If he can save this hard-bitten Roman soldier, this fighting force, he can surely save us. And tonight, if you know him as Lord and Savior, then praise God for what he's done for you. Thank him that he went all that way at Calvary for you personally. We say Good Friday, don't we? And people ask, why is it Good Friday when Jesus died? Well, it's good because he died in our place. He bore our sin in his own body on that tree. The centurion is saying to you tonight that Jesus is the Son of the living God. He accepted this for himself and in faith became a Christian. Have you done the same? Have you done the same? Just to look at the cross of Jesus and to say, he did it for me. I haven't got much more to say because I let God's word do that to your heart and life tonight. I've just brought some thoughts that may be of some help to you to show you that Jesus truly is the Son of God because he did it for me. Can we say that? We don't know anything more about this Roman soldier. It could be that Luke in chapter 10 of the Acts might be have said, well, this might have been the Cornelius. We don't know. It could have been that this centurion is one of those soldiers that heard John speak. But what we do know is that when God spoke to him, when he heard God's voice speaking to him, when he saw what was going on, he reacted and he responded. And that's what God wants of us. To respond to his word, to accept him as Lord and Savior of our life. To bow the knee at the cross and to say, yes, Lord, I am a sinner. Paul could say, I'm the chief of sinners. Oh, we might not say that we are the chief of sinners. I'll tell you a little story. With this, I'll close. I lived in a little terrace property in Nantyfyllon. Next to us was a lady, Mrs. Carter. And in her garden, she didn't have much in her garden, but she had a raspberry bush. And every year, those raspberries were gorgeous. Because I used to pick up, we had a privet hedge between us. And I used to pick the branch, one of the branches up, pull it open, and creep through. And I used to take those raspberries, and they were lovely. They were beautiful raspberries. One day, Mrs. Carter came and asked me, would I go and do a bit of shopping for her? So she gave me some money on the list, and I went and did the shopping. And after I took it back with the change, she gave me some money. And as I was leaving, she said, you know, Colin, she said, any time you want any raspberries from the bush in our garden, just take them. I never took another one. I knew she'd seen me doing it, but what a wonderful way of conveying it. I was a thief. I wouldn't have said that I was a thief, but I was a thief. I'm a sinner. If you fail in one thing, you have failed in all. Tonight, you may say, I'm not a murderer, I'm not a thief. I obey the law. I don't go over the speed limit. I pay my taxes. I pay everything that is due. But there's one thing that you haven't paid. You haven't bowed the knee to Jesus and said, I am a sinner. And I need forgiveness. This centurion acknowledged Jesus, who he was. Have you acknowledged Jesus in your life? Turn to him, seek him, come to know him. And you know, he's a wonderful Savior. And if you do know him today, praise God, thank him. Thank him for what he's done for you. As we come to this table, as we take of this bread and wine, we thank him. For his death for me, personally. And we remember that he did it all for love. Love for you. Love for me. Love for the world. Gave himself for us. Well, may God help us to understand more of his great love for us in Jesus Christ.